It's time for your weekly fix of wrestling nostalgia when we look at wrestling's past eras from the Attitude Era to the Reality Era.
I'd like to think that maybe this company will be better after Vince McMahon's dead, but the fact is, it's going to get taken over by his idiotic daughter and his doofus son-in-law and the rest of his stupid family.
To today. Here on the WWE Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to the WWE Podcast. It is Wednesday, December 18th, 2019. Christmas is just a week away. 1 week. 1 week until Christmas. For those of you that are doing the last minute shopping as I am, time's ticking. Right, time is ticking away. I'll be actually doing my shopping tomorrow afternoon and hopefully getting it all done in one shot as I continue to just wait until the last second every year, stress myself out for no apparent reason, and make the holidays a joyous time of year. So maybe you guys are doing the same thing. Maybe you are just procrastinating like I am, but a week away and then it's all over, right? You get your house back. You get to put away all the decorations. And you just worry about the one event of the year that's all about just drinking. And that is New Year's Eve, right? So hang in there. It is almost over. I enjoy, you know what? Like, having a kid now, I do love, you know, Christmas. It is about the kids, all that kind of stuff. But I am ready for it to be over. I am just done. I am ready for just normalcy. I'm ready for Christmas music to cease to exist. I'm ready to have my house back and put away all the decorations. I'm just ready to get into winter and just kind of settle in and get into WrestleMania season. And boy, are we just a few short weeks away from the true, I guess, WWE's definition of the true road to WrestleMania begin. Of the Royal Rumble. And that is really what today's Wrestling Nostalgia is about. It's about the Royal Rumble and moments of the Royal Rumble. Now, I was going to pick a single moment, but why do that when I can just pick a few and discuss them? So we're going to get into them today, and I'm really looking forward to it. Some really, really cool moments that that WWE provided for us in the Royal Rumble. And the Royal Rumble always stirs up that unknown, that who's going to be number 30, you know, who could debut at the Rumble, who could make a return at the Royal Rumble, who could be called up from NXT at the Royal Rumble. There's so many different facets that the Royal Rumble now provides as a platform for surprises and returns and re-debuts and repackaging and things being progressed for the WrestleMania season. So as we get closer to WrestleMania or Royal Rumble, and ultimately WrestleMania, I wanted to provide some moments of the past and go into the vault of some of the great moments, at least in my mind's eye, of wrestling in terms of the Rumble. So we're going to get to that in a minute. And but first, you guys know, if you want an ad-free experience, many of you have asked, hey, how do I get rid of the ads? Easy. You head over to patreon.com/WWE podcast, get an ad-free experience. And it's real easy to do. You can also leave a review if you like the show. If you don't, that's cool too, right? Not everyone's going to love this show, and I'm very aware of that, and that's fine. I'm not here to please everybody, and I'm not here to, placate to people's ideas that if I don't like something, that I shouldn't be complaining. Well, I have news for people who think that this is going to be a all positive podcast and that the New Day is running this and it's the power of positivity. It ain't going to happen, right? When I see WWE do things in a way that I don't agree with, I'm going to call them on it, right? I mean, this is not state-run radio. I've said that 100 times. This is not Corey Graves' podcast. This is not a podcast affiliated in any capacity, in any form or fashion, with WWE. Therefore, I'm going to give you my true and honest opinions, and WWE production at times and storylines, if I don't like what they're doing, I'm not going to pretend that I do. This is not a podcast that is trying to be negative, trying to make sure that, I get clicks for rants and things like that. I speak from myself, right? I speak the truth and what I believe about the product. So I'm not going to come out here and praise the product for things that I don't believe to be true, that they are indeed worthy of praise. So I just wanted to, get that out there, as I receive that feedback often. And I'm unapologetically going to just be authentic. And if there are times when WWE needs improvement and I see room for improvement, I'm calling them on it. Okay. So, anyway, moving on, because I'm going to start going down a rabbit hole. Let's talk about the Rumble, because we are only, 5.5 weeks away from the 2020 Royal Rumble, in which I will tell you right now, I see Roman Reigns winning. I don't even need to wait until the prediction show 5 weeks from now. I can pretty much say that I think Roman Reigns has this one locked up, unless there is some big change in booking. I see Roman Reigns winning this, and that will be a huge, huge test to how far the perceived progress that WWE has made against or for the babyface Roman Reigns character. That will be put to the test, the ultimate test, at the Royal Rumble. Winning the Royal Rumble, particularly if they have Daniel Bryan in the Rumble, right? Because I think we all remember what happened back in 2015. Daniel Bryan and the whole thing, having Daniel Bryan be eliminated by Bray Wyatt unceremoniously, and Roman Reigns winning the thing, The Rock couldn't save it, the whole deal. We all know the story. So this will be a hell of a test if it indeed shapes up the way that we expect it to. But this isn't what the show's about today. It's not about the upcoming Royal Rumble. It is about years past and some of the big moments at the Royal Rumble. So the first moment I have, it goes back to 2007. Yeah, the year is 2007. My God, 12 years ago. Well, it'll be 13 years ago this coming January. And the final two competitors, actually it was the final three, I believe, were four, sorry. Edge, Randy Orton, Undertaker, and Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels ends up eliminating Edge. Edge eliminated Randy Orton. And it comes down to the final two. Undertaker, Shawn Michaels. Let's just take a listen, and we'll come back.
These fans in San Antonio, WWE fans on their feet.
Well, JBL, you're right. Shawn Michaels can hit this elbow, but that's not going to get the Undertaker out of the damn ring.
That is classic HBK.
You got to get that 320-pound man over the top rope. Shawn Michaels got the adrenaline. He's done it his entire career.
And now Shawn is going to set up the Undertaker. The Phenom in trouble. Shawn feeling it. The adrenaline's pumping. The momentum is shifting.
Not a person in the crowd on the sitting down. Everybody in this arena standing up and feeling it.
And 16,000 people are helping Shawn tune up the band.
Shawn going for sweet music. Undertaker caught him. Oh, no. Shawn in trouble. Choke slam.
Oh, no.
A choke slam from the heavens.
But Undertaker took it. Two chair shots directly on the head. There's that face, though. Face where we saw him drop 15 feet and still beat Mr. Kennedy.
Look at this.
That face who's done it for the last 15 years here at the WWE.
Undertaker saying, turn out the lights. Undertaker giving the signal that this one is over.
Both of these legends want one more shot.
Undertaker with Shawn Michaels up. Undertaker, Shawn Michaels realizing he's in trouble, trying to slither his way out the door.
Sweet chin music, sweet chin music. Good gosh!
Michaels doesn't know where he is either.
But from that, withstood so much punishment.
Telling you, we're watching history.
Undertaker trying best of them all.
JBL, right now, who do you think? Who's got the most gas left in the tank?
This is how Shawn Michaels eliminated Diesel. Here we go.
Shawn Michaels.
Michaels eliminated Edge like that. Went for Street 2 music.
A great moment. I mean, if you watch these two, what made this so special, I think, this particular moment, is that they hadn't crossed paths since they since Shawn Michaels had come back to WWE. There was no interaction almost whatsoever between the two stars until this moment happened. That's what made this so special. And if I'm not incorrect, I believe the last time that they actually had a match prior to 2007, and it really wasn't even a one-on-one match, obviously, but 1997, when they first had the Hell in a Cell match. I mean, so it had been a good 10 years since these two had crossed paths in terms of any kind of in-ring interaction. So that made it super special. After Shawn Michaels' comeback in 2002, he had been back for a good 5 years, and we were still 2 years out from having a one-on-one match at WrestleMania 25, deemed one of the greatest WrestleMania matches of all time. I wholeheartedly agree with that. And this is not about WrestleMania 25, but it was one of the best ever. So this was still 2 years away from that. I don't think WWE had envisioned that at 25, to think out 2 years in advance, but the stars aligned and it happened. As we know, Undertaker wins the Rumble for the first time in his career, ends up going on to WrestleMania to win the World Heavyweight Championship. And it was just a cool, damn cool moment for the final 10-minute segment. I only gave you guys a 2-minute clip, but it was a damn cool segment. I mean, it was awesome. And it reminded you of how good pro wrestling can be when it's great. And it's not about the constant flips of 2019, as you guys know. I mean, it's just what today's style is now. I mean, it's just what it is, and I'm going to have to live with it. But when you look back at what these two professionals, these two Hall of Famers, these two legends in the business can do without that style, it reminds you, you don't need to focus on spots, and sometimes less is a whole lot more. And you know, it's such a stark contrast, but also, it's exhibit A for the argument against today's style. And on the pace at which we go today, the typical wrestling match, AEW or WWE, I mean, it really doesn't even matter on the promotion anymore. It's a faster pace than my brain can keep up with. And I don't think that I'm insulting myself. I think that the typical fan, the typical human being, I don't care who you are, can process every spot that goes on, and it inherently lends itself to a lack of selling when you're going that fast. And I don't have time to process what's happening, which makes what you're doing, every move, mean less because you're doing more. And that's why less equals more. I feel like there's a math equation here that I'm just not putting together. Although I failed calculus like 4 times and ended up taking it an additional 2 times. I finally got through it after 6 times. I don't know. That's a true story. But there is something here. There's something here that I think when you can learn from, that wrestlers of today can learn from Michaels and Undertaker. And really, not just those two, but when you look at the style of even the Attitude Era, right? You look at the Attitude Era, even the Ruthless Aggression Era, it was nowhere near the way it is today, and it's just evolved, and the business evolves, and that's fine. And maybe it'll take me just time to get used to, but I like a slower pace, and I like a story being told at a pace that is digestible, and it's not just, it's almost like having a massive plate of food in front of you,
and you like the food, but you're just inhaling it instead of taking your time enjoying the food, right? It's just shovel it in, eat it quick. And yeah, it probably tastes good, but you're eating it so fast, you don't have time to truly enjoy it. And that's what today's wrestling is. And I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of it. I still love wrestling. I still love WWE, but I'm not a fan. And this is what wrestling can be at its best when you look at Undertaker and Shawn Michaels. And really, for that matter, look at any Hall of Famer and that has been inducted in the last 10, 15 years. And I can almost guarantee you that they will not have the style of 2019. And maybe that's a good thing. And maybe I'm an old timer. Good God, I'm 34 years old. I can't say that. I can't say I'm old school or old timer. I just, my brain and my body refuse to allow me to say that and mean it. So for the time being, I will just say that I am hard-headed. How about that? That's a little better way to label it. All right, well, moving on to the next Royal Rumble moment. This one occurred in 2010. And if you remember that Royal Rumble, well, then you must remember this.
29 on his way. Who's going to join these guys?
You think you know him?
Superstar! The former world champion! What? Listen to the ovation! It is thunderous in the Phillips Arena! After what many thought to be a career-threatening injury, Edge has returned! And a spear to his former tag team partner! And now to Michaels! And now to Cena! And Edge! He's rolling!
It's his back with a vengeance!
But how is this possible?
There goes Jericho! Retribution for Edge!
Edge was supposed to be out of action for upwards of 14 months. It's watch only been back. About 8.
And look at Edge. Jericho can't believe what just happened to him. John Cena looking to end Edge's dream. Attitude adjustment time. Edge planning Cena.
Oh. Call your friends. Let them know what's going on right now.
Oh, Matt Stryker. Oh, good old Matt Stryker. Now, don't forget, the narrative rolling into this, Michaels was on a tear, on an absolute tear, to avenge his loss to The Undertaker at 25. Now we're rolling into WrestleMania 26, and this is an avenue that Michaels sees to get back to The Undertaker at WrestleMania, because Undertaker is champion. Michaels is saying, this is how I'm going to get there. Obviously, Michaels was eliminated, I believe, by Batista. And Edge was the one who returned here. Edge returned and speared Jericho. They were former partners. Edge had sustained an injury prior to this. Obviously, as Matt Stryker said, he was supposed to be out for 14 months. I think that was a little overdone. I believe the estimates were 10 to 12 months, but Edge did return a bit early. And this was an awesome moment, and Edge, as I'm trying to pull up the video feed here, he ends up, well, take a listen.
Edge, oh, look to take advantage, Cena. Something coming! Oh, oh, Edge has done it! Edge has done it! Edge is going to WrestleMania!
Great ending there, and in a time too where John Cena was the guy. John Cena was the appointed face of WWE to have Edge come out there and put Cena down and really put down Jericho as well. A great finish, and a moment that was, I think, significant in the in that year. And I am a huge Edge fan, by the way, too. I don't know how if WWE were ever to consider bringing back Edge, how they would have a rated R superstar in a TV PG environment. I mean, it's easy, right? I mean, the solution's easy. He could keep his nickname, but he can't actually execute or live up to his nickname in a TV and PG environment. But it's still a great name, great nickname. Edge, I think, had more gas left in the tank than had been provided or had been pulled out from under him after his final match with Alberto Del Rio at WrestleMania, which obviously would be his final match and still is to this day. And having him win was the right thing to do. I don't think WWE knew the severity of his injuries. I don't think they really understood that this could be his final match up until that day or maybe that week. And or after WrestleMania, I believe, is when they said, hey, you're done. And I think that if Edge were to ever come back, hey, I'm on board. And we got a clue that he's at least physically cleared to do something after he delivered a spear a number of months ago for the first time in WWE TV since he defeated Alberto Del Rio and relinquished the championship. I'm positive that this was the first time he got physical. So it was an encouraging sign from WWE to maybe say, hey, if you're down, we're down. Well, I mean, we'll see. We will see. I wouldn't bet any money on it yet, but it was certainly encouraging. And this was a moment, as I said, 10 years ago, before WWE Network. I mean, we were still ordering pay-per-views and trying to invite friends over so they could help share the cost of the $49.95 or $59.95 pay-per-view cost that I would incur on my parents at the time. And, they'd love that, right? But I would actually go to a friend's house for all the pay-per-views, or at least as many as I could. And that's how we split the cost. And I remember, too, when you could actually pause live TV. Oh, my God, what a crazy idea that was, right? It was revolutionary, picture-in-picture, all this stuff that we take for granted on our phones that we're carrying with us. It's mind-boggling how far we've come, even in the last 5-10 years, when all this stuff that is now taken for granted was just a dream or a fantasy or in sci-fi movies, seriously, just a few decades ago. And so I think that the kids of today that are just becoming WWE fans don't know the struggle of what it was like without the WWE Network. Really. I mean, the WWE Network changed everything. And I think it's changed things for the better. You went to a subscription model. And I know that performers were concerned about, hey, Vince, you're going from $59.95 in pay-per-view buys to $9.99 for all the pay-per-views per month. How does that work? Well, it's a pretty simple math equation. It works by volume because you're going to have more people signing up for the network than you would have had they just single purchased every pay-per-view, because everybody didn't buy every pay-per-view. The $9.99 that I have coming out of my account is just there, and I accept that it's there. Do I use the network for everything that I probably could? No. But the value you get for $10, I mean, you can't beat it. And this is not a sales pitch for WWE Network. I'm not getting anything out of this. This is just how I truly feel about it. The pay-per-view model is dead. I mean, it's subscription-based streaming. That's what we're in right now in 2019. And that was the best move WWE ever made, was to go to the WWE Network. Ever. And so my point is that this Rumble was not on the WWE Network. This was a purchase-only pay-per-view. I think it was like $49 or $59. I think WrestleMania was the big-ticket one. I mean, I've seen WrestleMania all the way up to like $70 at times. I know that there were like viewing spots you could go to, like our local Hooters. I know was always a viewing place you could go and watch the pay-per-view and sit at the bar and order wings or whatever you'd like. And so there were certain spots you could go to watch it, but I'd always either would shell out the cash and pay my parents, or I would just go to my friend's house, the couple of friends I did that did like wrestling, and go to their place, and we'd all chip in, and it was like $10 a head if there were six of us, so it was pretty reasonable. But and as far as having wrestling friends go, I mean, maybe I'm the only one here. And then we'll get to my third and final moment of the Royal Rumble. Just kind of a personal story. And again, maybe you guys can or can't relate to being a wrestling fan, at least for a significant amount of time, like 5, 10, 15, 20 years or more. We all have, at least I did, I had certain friends that I did certain things with. I didn't have a certain few friends that did everything that I liked to do. And obviously throughout high school and really middle school, wrestling was one of my passions. So to find friends that, number one, liked wrestling, I mean, you got to be careful. But I also grew up in a time where the Attitude Era made wrestling cool. It's mainstreamed wrestling, spearheaded by Stone Cold Steve Austin, who was basically my role model throughout middle school. Yeah. Think about that for a minute. As the impressionable 11 to 13 year olds in middle school use Stone Cold Steve Austin as their role model, actually giving a Stone Cold Stunner to someone in wrestling class. Yeah, that was a great idea. But, again, trying to find those individuals that like wrestling. And once you do, man, it's an instant bond you have with people when you have something like wrestling. And yeah, everyone likes movies. You can bond over movies. You can bond over TV shows or streaming now, but to find somebody that likes wrestling and watches the product, the current product, and not just goes, I used to watch wrestling back, when Hulk Hogan was out there and, Andre the Giant and all this stuff where, you hear people talk about wrestling like it was something they liked and then they grew out of it. A lot of people like that exist, but to have somebody who is a wrestling fan from, their childhood to now, I don't think it's difficult to find, but it's difficult for people to wear on their shoulder and wear on their sleeve. So when you find friends that do that, it's an instant bond. And it's a great thing to have, because as wrestling fans, we know that the criticism we get is, you like that stuff? Yeah, you like the fake stuff? You mean the fake wrestling, right? How many times have you heard that? I still hear that today, right? I still hear that. Whenever anybody finds out I like wrestling, they immediately go, oh, the fake stuff. Yeah, the stuff that, world-class athletes do on a almost daily basis, leave their families for 40 weeks a year, and train their ass off and make hundreds of thousands, in some cases millions of dollars to do, and is the longest running episodic TV show in history and has brought in more money than most movies do, and has brought in and influenced pop culture. That fake wrestling, right? I mean, it's something that I'm sure as wrestling fans that listen to me now can relate to. The criticisms of being a wrestling fan. The one form of entertainment that is criticized heavily by those that don't watch. I mean, there's no other TV show like that you get criticism for not watching. Or for watching, for that matter. There is no other form of entertainment. I mean, wrestling goes back to America. I mean, you could argue that America was the pastime of America is wrestling and baseball. I mean, baseball, you could say, is the traditional American pastime, but wrestling is a pretty damn close second. I really believe that. And it's just amazing for those that don't watch the product, that don't get it. And if you don't get it, it's easy to criticize being a wrestling fan, because on the surface you could say, ah, that's not real. Yeah, it's not scripted. Again, the easiest argument in the world to shut it down is to say, okay, so you tell me a TV show or movie that you've watched that is 100% reality. What is happening is what they're shooting. There's no production, right? I mean, it's easy to shut down that argument. It's the laziest argument you will hear. And I don't even have to defend being a wrestling fan, but it's the instant the instant judgment you get from people being a wrestling fan. And I'm not super sensitive in today's identity politics world. I don't care if you whatever you don't like wrestling. I don't, think about whatever you want of me. I don't really care. But it's an interesting subject. It's one of the most interesting things you can bring up to non-wrestling fans that just don't get it. And it's almost like they look at you as lesser sometimes. You ever get that feeling? As a wrestling fan that, when someone that doesn't like wrestling finds out you're a wrestling fan, you get the feeling that they think that they're superior because they watch, quote, better programming or more real programming or stuff that's, not scripted or just it's at a higher level in their eyes. You ever get that feeling? I feel like that all the time for people who find out I'm a wrestling fan. And it's something I don't give a rat's ass about. I mean, to be totally frank with you, it's just like, F you. I mean, I don't care. Right. I mean, I'm not in high school or even middle school for that reason. Like we're grown ass adults. But it's almost as if wrestling makes everyone a child again for the better or worse. So I don't know. I just wanted to bring that bit of perspective, and maybe you can relate and maybe you can't, but that's how my experience has been with being a wrestling fan. But outside of all the criticism and nonsense, once you find people who are fans, it's something you can just always talk about. There's always memories and moments and things you can discuss and fantasy book and all that stuff. But man, oh man, nothing like being a wrestling fan and talking to people who are critics who have no idea what the hell they're talking about. And then when you start to tear down their argument about the sacrifices of these men and women and that it is one of the most successful industries in the history of the world, it's one of the most successful forms of entertainment, then their argument breaks down and then they start to feel like a fool. I mean, it's just, It's actually kind of fun for me when people start to tear it down. I expect it now, and it's easy to just be like, oh, okay, so, hey, are movies real? Are your TV shows real? I don't know. It's easy. But anyway, moving on to the third and final moment of the Royal Rumble that I really, really enjoyed. And it's funny. This is such a quick moment. This is a moment that, to me, it was so impactful. Even watching it now, it meant so much to me because it resonated with what I wanted and I think the fans wanted so bad for so long. And I was going to originally make this third and final clip, John Cena's return to the Royal Rumble in New York City, to defeat, I think Triple H was in the ring among one or two others, and he made a surprise number 30 entrant, coming back extremely early from his pectoral injury. And I was originally going to be my 30th, and that is still a great moment. I wasn't a John Cena fan. I feel the way I feel about Roman Reigns the way I felt about John Cena, except John Cena could actually cut a promo. So that was going to be my 30th, and it's really hard to pick moments because there are so many, and just because I'm naming these three doesn't mean I'm disregarding all the others. This is in no way like a top three list. This is just the three moments that stood out to me as I was reviewing some of the bigger moments in the Royal Rumble history. So what is this moment, you ask? Well, this one was the Royal Rumble in 2004. Now, does that ring a bell with you? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. Here's why it rings a bell. Well, more specifically, a gong.
Impact Chokeslam!
Oh, high impact chokeslam! And Kane is the bull of these here woods right here and now before 17,289 in Philadelphia. Oh,
what an uppercut right there by Kane. This guy scares the hell out of me, JR, I'm telling you.
Okay, he's a dominator. There's no doubt about it.
Who's next? Who's next?
The man that buried his own brother. What the hell?
So the reason I bring that up, I mean, number one, the crowd reaction to that was, it's chilling. I mean, it was just a moment. It was just a moment. But the significance of this, if you may or may not remember, or you don't know, the Undertaker had transformed into the American Badass back in 2000 at Judgment Day. And then he subsequently remained the American Badass. He turned into, I mean, he had variations of the American Badass, Big Evil, and, you know, he would go from heel to face and had a damn successful run as the American Badass. But people were wondering, would he ever go back to being the Dead Man? And at the Survivor Series in 2003, Kane buried The Undertaker in a Buried Alive match, of which he ended up taking a backhoe and dumping a bunch of dirt on The Undertaker, burying him in the predisposed plot that was set up for the match. And this was in a match with The Undertaker against Vince McMahon, and Undertaker was buried by Kane. And so it's very apropos that that was the exact perfect way to bring back The Undertaker's character, that the American Badass was dead and buried, and that the Dead Man is back. I mean, there's just no better way to script that. So with Kane doing that two pay-per-views earlier, 2 months earlier too, to have him have The Undertaker's gong go off, the lights go out, the gong hits. You have to remember, that may not seem like a big deal now, but for 3+ years, we had dealt with the American Badass, and the Dead Man was so beloved, the character was so beloved, that we were wondering when we would get the Dead Man back, and boy, did we get it. And obviously, this was a program that led to WrestleMania 20. Yours truly was there, as I like to mention every time. And he started to grow his hair back out. Paul Heyman. Paul Bearer was in attendance. And so the whole crew was back together, if you will. It was just a great story to tell. It was just wrestling storytelling 101. I mean, everything about it was good. And I know, again, it's just a moment in the Rumble, but to hear the gong for the first time in 3 years, the crowd erupt in Philly. Kane is in disbelief. All of it. I mean, it was just so well done. Did I like their match at WrestleMania 14 better between Kane and Undertaker? Yes, I did. I think that was a better story. But still, at WrestleMania 20, 6 years later, I think that match was still good. I think the story really is what held that together. I don't think they had a 5-star match at WrestleMania 20, but I think the story was well done. Really well done. The best way to bring back The Undertaker's Dead Man character that I could think of was the way that WWE had done it at that time. And I really miss Taz on commentary, don't you? I mean, hearing his voice, yes, he has his own show, but Taz on commentary is just awesome. I was always a fan of Taz. He brought a sense of credibility immediately to the booth. He has nice pacing, timing, cadence. Everything about the way that he speaks doesn't seem like it's being told to him to say. It seems like it's Taz telling it like it is. And I love his genuine emotion that he has. Everything about it. And so hearing Taz again reminded me, man, I miss him as with Michael Cole or whoever his partner may be, JR at one time. At this time, it was JR and Taz. But Taz is just so talented on the mic. I just miss it. Taz, I've never talked about him on commentary, but he made one of the best transitions ever from in-ring to the commentary booth. And again, you have to remember, though, too, that this is a time in which it wasn't such a micromanaged position, and there wasn't so many balls to keep in the air. And what I mean by that is there wasn't social media, if there was, it was much more limited back in 2004. This is a time where the WWE Network didn't exist. They were still on the pay-per-view model. They were still technically in the Attitude Era, the tail end of the Attitude Era, but we were still kind of there. You could say, oh, it was a Ruthless Aggression Era. It was, but I would still say that there was some hangover from the Attitude Era here. You could point to, well, the Ruthless Aggression started in 2002. Well, again, it was a bit of an overlap here. It wasn't just one day that it decided to switch. But there were a lot of things at play at this time, but the commentary team had a lot less things to juggle. I mean, yeah, they had sponsors and all that kind of stuff to make sure that they had their reads in. But the position, as I said, it wasn't a three-man booth, which I think is also a plus. Two-man booth is always best. Always best. I love Taz's commentary. I may actually go back and listen to more of Taz's commentary, just realizing how much I miss it. And it's not always an easy transition for wrestlers to transition to commentary. I mean, even Samoa Joe, I don't think is outstanding. I think Samoa Joe's, he's fine, but he still feels like he's being corporately managed. And I don't like Samoa Joe feeling like that. Samoa Joe should feel more like Taz. And he feels more like he's just saying the right things because corporate's telling him to say it. Management, Vince, that's what it feels like. It doesn't feel like Joe has his own voice. He still feels like he's just saying the same cliches and platitudes and all that kind of stuff. He doesn't feel like he's authentic Joe. But he's not bad. He just is unfortunately being molded into what Vince McMahon views as what all commentary teams should sound like. Don't get me started on Vic Joseph and all that. But anyway, back to some positive stuff. If you haven't seen the whole storyline that built from Kane and Undertaker back in 2004, when he actually, again, it originated at Survivor Series in 2003 when Kane attacked Undertaker and buried him alive. But it actually, obviously, and then culminated at WrestleMania 20 in Madison Square Garden in March of that year, March 20th, I believe, 2004. Great, great story. Great storytelling. And this moment was one that I remember sitting there and my jaw dropped and I stood up and I was like, what? Right? Like the most of us did. And what, you know, the 25,000 people in Philly did was stand up and, you know, lose their minds because you hadn't heard that gong in years. You hadn't heard it in years. And it was just a hell of a moment. I enjoyed it. I think it was one of those losing yourself in time moments that are very rare. And what I mean by that is whatever's going on in your life, whatever stress you may have, it goes away for those just few seconds, even minute, whatever. You just are captured in the moment. You are I don't even know the word. There's a word, but I can't think of it. It's a C word. You are just completely engulfed in that moment and you are lost in time. And those are the moments that continue to bring you back to wrestling. And yes, this is brief. It was like a 10-second clip. I understand that. But there's so much power in that. There's so much power in that. So anyway, those are just my thoughts. Those are my three moments of the Royal Rumble that I really enjoyed. Obviously, there's a lot more. And this is not a top three list. This is just three ones that I picked out of some of the things I was watching over the last week to see what I wanted to talk about today. And three moments of the Royal Rumble, of which I really, really, really enjoyed. Hope you guys did too. I'd recommend that you start to maybe go back and review your own Royal Rumble moments as we close in towards the Royal Rumble pay-per-view in just 5.5 weeks. And I say just because it's going to fly by. I'm telling you right now with the holidays, it's going to fly by. And I said that yesterday, but all right. Well, guys, that's really all I have for today. This wrestling nostalgia stuff is always great. It's a great way for me to be all positive, right? For those that think I'm all complaining, this is a positive show because it's looking back at things that I love. So it's guaranteed to be a positive show. But I will be back on Saturday with your week in review. And then obviously tomorrow and Friday will be your AEW and NXT reviews from Chris and Zach. So look forward to that as well. And then I still am ironing out the details and schedule for next week's shows. Obviously with Christmas built in, it's not easy. Things may be flipped around, flopped around, turned upside down, but I'm still going to try to crank out some shows next week for you guys because, hey, just because wrestling or just because Christmas is going on doesn't mean wrestling's not happening. And I want to still make sure that you guys get your wrestling content and my thoughts and, you know, make sure that you guys are satisfied because without you guys, this show doesn't exist. And it's cliche, but it's true, right? The success of this show is only based on how many of you guys listen and how many of you guys love the show. And that's really the end of it. I could sit here and talk to them blue in the face, but if you guys don't listen, this show means nothing. So thank you guys for listening and making the show a success. And I believe we're just getting started of where this show is going. So anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening. Head over to patreon.com/WWE podcast if you want to get an ad-free experience. Get on the show. Get a shout-out. Get a video shout-out. Get blogs that are exclusive. All that kind of good stuff. It starts at just $1 a month. As well as head on over to the website at WWEpodcast.com. All these podcasts and articles and some top 10 lists. Everything is up there as well. And check that out. And I think that's it. I think those are all my usual plugs. Oh, head over to Twitter at the WWE Podcast, by the way. And I think that's it. All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. As always, talk to you next time.